Put this over there. Praise God. Amen. Would you like to pause it? Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Where's Ronald? Praise God. Amen. Amen. You should be run up here and get me. Ouch. Amen. He's what do you call it? The all arounder. the all arounder is. That's what I was saying. I tell you, God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
And this has been an awesome night, awesome day, and I thank you all for being so good, patience, and we certainly appreciate you all, our visitors, your first time. Yeah. Come again, okay? Philand, all of you. Just everybody's just been so good. Danny did a tremendous job. And Brother Danny watches out for me, and he does a tremendous job. And we're glad to see you all. Amen?
Amen.
Glad to see you all. And Brother Andre and Sister Letio, all Matani, you all did a good job. Andre, as you go back to college, you take the Lord with you. And do not depart from the Word of God. Even as a Timothy was taught the Word of God, and he stayed in the Word of God. So we thank you for everything. And this is the last service for 2017. Isn't that amazing? And then we are in church tonight. And we could be somewhere else, but we're in church tonight, and we love it. Yeah. And we're not saying, hurry up and get service over so I can go somewhere to party all night. I'm a party animal. Yes. But we want to party in the house of God. And we love the presence of God. I'm just at the place where I want to be. I love God, and I want to. I just thank God for calling me to the ministry. And I've not been a perfect minister. I've given the Lord a lot of problems, but He knows how to take care of me. He's had a chance to spank me a lot. But he knows me, and I'm learning how to know him, but I love him. Yeah. It's one thing about it, God knows that I love him, yeah. And I wouldn't trade God for no one, nothing. Yeah. That's settled with me, and I appreciate God, I have no doubt. And I keep begging God daily to give me a part in the kingdom, the first resurrection. Yeah. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be, I mean, how could you live without Jesus? Hmm? I mean, that's what we live for. There's nothing satisfied. I've been around the world. I've had the privilege to, even this year, closing out, I've been a lot of places. And coming down, I'm glad I'm here tonight with my Bible. I've been to a beautiful Jamaica this year. And boy, that was pretty. The hotel, one of the finest in Jamaica. But I never missed church one time while I was out there to stay in the hotel. I don't care what they were having, what function, nothing. I was more attracted to the house of God.
Amen.
And the beach was there. I didn't even go to the beach. But I went to church. And I appreciate the Lord tonight that I have a Bible that I can study and the word that God gave us. And God, the Lord spoke to me this morning, said, just take Psalms, Isaiah chapter 40 for today. I was going to get back on Elisha, and I will. There's no rush. It's a long series. And I've covered a lot in it, but I will get back to it. It's so much beautiful things about it that we have, and I will get back in 2018. The Lord will lead me back there. But I feel that we've done a lot this year, and I wish if we've done more. And I wanted to have climax in the Philippines. And I didn't get to go, but I went. God opened the door. Amen. And we've reached out a lot of people, a lot of pastors, and Sister Rosie's going to set it up where maybe once a month or twice a once every 2 months or whatever, probably on a Sunday morning, there we'll get to speak to them, to teach. Brother Kenneth, Pastor Kenneth, is a wonderful man. Amen. He's my friend. I and his wife Gracie, we just love them so much, and we appreciate her. And Mama Hosanna, I'm really happy when I hear her voice and see how she's now happy. Amen. Really. Yeah. And I even wish we could have done more for her. Amen. And so, amen? Amen. So I said, if God ever touch your heart and you want to just come up and say, give a gift and says, here for her or whatever, don't feel free to do it. I'm not going to beg you, but if you do, because that's a wonderful lady. And as long as I'm alive, I want to make sure she's happy. Okay, and just thank God for you all of you. Joni, see you are back there. Mm-hmm. Amen, with your beautiful granddaughter and sister Cynthia. All of you, we love you, we welcome you, you're precious. And we just love all of you tonight. The labor in this church, Sister Angie has outdone herself. Amen. We have to send her home many times. She's a faithful child of God and every one of you. So tonight we thank God for his word. And I just want to continue in Isaiah chapter 40. I want to take time. And I notice when Sister Rosie read it over for me, I like for people to read with me, read the scriptures. And many times I'll ask you to read with me. And so it gives me strength when you read with me and help me and guide me, because it's just strengthened me. But tonight I told you the Lord spoke to me. I felt it was the Lord. God doesn't speak to me all the time, every day. I hear the voice of God through the word. I think that's a lot right there. But every once in a while, or so, the Lord will quicken something to me. And this morning he brought this chapter, chapter 40, Isaiah, to me. And I just to go through it. And we started this morning, and I several of you came to me and told me that was, you receive a lot from it. Now, I feel in myself that this chapter is too big for me. I cannot do justice. I'm not intelligent enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough. I feel so like the grass and the dust that we're talking about. And it's hard. It's a big, God is big and God is great. So, but I'm trying to give small portions that you will at least understand a little. And closing out 2017, what's better? How could you find a better lesson describing the awesomeness of God? Eh? How could you? You couldn't find a better, greater lesson to. And we have a little time right here to take time, and we started this morning, but just to close out close out right here, and for everybody to get something out of it tonight, I want you to listen. I want you all to listen tonight so you could get something out of it, all right?
Amen.
And we thank God for it. Let's ask God's blessing upon it, and we ask the Lord as we close 2017, the last message, that he will bless it and open up and lead us as he has led us in 2018 to come and guide us and give us health and strength. And we just pray for even Sister Anita. Her heart is here and all that could not make it. So we thank God and we want God to bless this message. All right? Are you happy? And this morning we stopped. Anybody remember where? We stopped at verse 18. But if you go over it, you find where the Lord was showing us the weakness, the limitation of man, the limitation of nations, and how we are just as the nations are just as a drop, are less than a drop in the bucket. I mean, if you ever really test it, get your finger and put a drop in a bucket, you can't get it out. You cannot get it out. And that's what the Lord says. The nations are as a drop in a bucket, and they're less than nothing. Did you figure out, anybody was doing the math this morning can tell me? Yeah? Negative. Less than nothing is negative. So the nations are negative. But the awesomeness of God, only a God is greatness. Who will you liken him unto? You have to help me right here. Can you get, what would you say, a positive from a negative? I don't know. Say something to me. You cannot get a positive from a negative. Are you sure? So if the nations are less than negative, you speak up. Come on, help me. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Then you talk about me, Pastor don't know anything. And I know I don't know anything, but I just want you to hear your version. Can you get a positive out of a negative? You sure now? Okay. So if someone could get a positive out of a negative, what would you say? What would you say? Now, only God that can get a positive out of a negative. Only God that can produce something out of a failure. He can produce something out of nothing. I mean, that's awesome. God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Then the heavens and the earth are not clean in his sight. And he said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And remember now, the scripture says, we are all as unclean. And all our righteousness is as filthy rag. Yet, only God can reach down and bring out of that unclean state, corruption, corruptible, and God can reach down and bring a clean thing out.
Yes.
Tell me now.
Amen.
Here we were all fallen. All fallen. Even Mary was under the curse. And yet God reached into the womb of a woman and placed a word, and that word came out clean. That word, Jesus Christ, that became flesh.
Amen.
My.
Hallelujah.
Awesome.
Praise God.
And what about your life and my life? Mm-hmm. Bruised, wounded, a failure. Every one of us. Mm-hmm. We're failures. Or you might have accomplished something in this world, but I'm talking towards God. We're all failures. It tells you. We're all the same, nothing. All failures. And yet God can produce sons. Sons of God out of failure. He can produce sheep. Hallelujah. God is a awesome God tonight. And look at your life. And you will all, you stop to think of just you. Don't go to your neighbor. Don't go to your wife or your husband or your kids. Think about you. Focus about you. And the failures you have. You say, but I don't do what they've done, but you've done something else. All of sin. What about the thoughts in your mind? You might not have done a lot of things, but the thoughts. The thoughts. Our minds. And so, but God, who is rich in mercy, to whom will you liken God? But God, who is rich in mercy. How rich he is in mercy. His mercies are from everlasting to everlasting. Think of it. God can never run out of mercy. God is rich in mercy. Then, for his great love, wherein he loved us. Think of it. When God reached out for you, you weren't up, you were down. We were in corruption. We were in sin. God never take you out of, you know, a clean state, but he took us out of the mire and the clay. He brought us up out of an horrible pit. Psalms 40. Just turn there real quickly. Psalms chapter 40. To show you where God brought us. Who is like unto this God, and who will you compare God to? In Psalms chapter 40, start at verse 1, says, in Psalms chapter 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. You know why? Because you're praying. He heard I cry. And what did he do? So if he brought you up, it means that you were there. Amen. Where did he find you? He found you in an horrible pit. Yeah. All right, now look at me. If he found you in an horrible pit, what pit was that? Just think now. Where were you? What was the pit? What was the pit that he found you in? That nature that you were born with. That nature of the first Adam. That's the corruption. In Adam all died. Now you know what happened when you die. Corruption. An horrible pit. And what did he do when he brought you up out of the horrible pit? He brought me up out of an horrible pit. Where? Out of the mire and the clay. Come on, church. Look at it. Read it loud. And set my feet, your feet, where? Upon a rock. Who's this rock? Jesus Christ. Upon a rock. And establish you. My going. You're not going back in the pit. Because he brought you up. To whom will you liken God? Who could reach down in that horrible pit of the Adamic nature, the corruptible, the mire, the clay, and set your feet upon a rock and establish. If he establish your going, that means he establish your path out of the pit to eternal life. Establish your path from death to life. Now, if you can understand how great God is, he brought you up. He said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. out of the mire and the clay. That's what you were made of, clay. And set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. Verse 3 says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before, what were you singing about? What was your song? What were you singing about? But now it says, and he had put a new song in my mouth. What are you singing about? A new song. He puts a new word, a message, a new language in your mouth. You don't talk like you used to talk. You don't sing like you used to sing. Now you're singing not of the corruption, but of the rock. He put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. Even praise unto our God. And that's what he has done. He brought us up out of the arbor pit. He changed us. And he made us holy. Right? To stand before him without blame, in righteousness, and be established in love, that we may praise them. What are you going to praise him for? For the corruption that he brought you up. Amen. That he made a new man out of the old man. Yes. Praise God. And praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Look at you. Many shall see it. They see the change. They look at you and say, is that that same boy that used to? Is it that same? They shall see it. And what happened to him? And tonight is the last night of 2017. And before, he'd be heading to the bar. He'd be heading out somewhere. That's not very nice. But look at him tonight. He is in church. Look at him tonight. He's heading for church. He's not going to go party. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear. And because of the life and what God did for you, they shall begin to trust in the Lord. They're going to say, if God did that for you, he can do it for me. I want what you have. If God can take the songs of the world out of your mouth and put new songs, I want that. I want to serve that God. Verse 4. Blessed. Are you with me? Blessed. Are you with me now? Blessed is that man. Now notice here. That maketh the Lord his trust. And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. The lies would be the tricks of the devil, the language. He's the father of lies. Okay? Who is like unto God? Psalms go with, 40 go with Isaiah, because it said, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. It's true. Who can be compared? That's what we're answering the question. Who? No one. And thy thoughts. The what? Thy thoughts which are towards. To us words. Hallelujah. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. Nobody can count it. What? You sit there and worrying, Lord, do you know me? Do you remember me? He's never forgotten you. Did you know that the thoughts of the Lord, let me let the Bible speak for itself. What do you think about you? Somebody will come and say to you, I love you. I always think about you. But look at the Lord. The thoughts of God, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. Nobody can count. Nobody can tell. Are you listening? If I would declare and speak of them, you can't do it. When you hear somebody said, I don't have anything, no testimony, nothing to say. All right, give them some sand. Count the sand. When you're dry and cold and you don't have a joy and a sand, give them some sand. Let them begin to count and see how much they can say about God. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. The thoughts of God. So when somebody come here and just, and you get amazed when they show you their little gold watch and their little automobile and all of that, you know, and so, and you go in amazement, or they're able to tell you your name. You already know your name. That's nothing. I don't need you to tell my name. I know where I live. Don't you know where you live? But look at that. I'm talking about the thoughts of God towards you. You know, it's amazing. I've heard people can tell you how many chapters are in the Bible and how many words are in the Bible. People have counted them. But let them count. That's just a little drop. That's not the thoughts of God that he have for you. Nobody can count those. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. If you believe that tonight, you'd say amen, because you say, God, the thoughts that God has for you. You begin to think now. It's going to get you thinking that somebody loves you more than you can number. Somebody. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears as thou open burnt offerings and sin offering as thou not required. But then said I, lo, I come. That's Jesus. That's his first coming. Then said I, lo, I come. This is the volume of the book, the Bible. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. So you ought to study the Bible. Yes. When you don't study the Bible, you don't know nothing. You don't even know who you are. How are you going to know the thoughts of God towards you? And if you don't, you go home and you get discouraged. You can't come to church because you're trying to figure out something. You can't. You're wondering if God loves you because this person didn't talk to you. I mean, can you focus how much God loves you? The love that God has for you cannot be numbered. That's why he has eternity to try to express his love for you. Because time cannot tell. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yay! Hallelujah. Thy law is within my heart. You get it? You put that word of God in your heart and see what it's going to do. It's going to carve out the image of God. Amen. I have preached righteousness.
I delight to do thy will.
That's Jesus. Jesus. He preached righteousness. Eh? I preach righteousness where?
In the grace
in the great congregation. That's what he preached himself. Reveal himself. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. That's the Son and the Father. He said, I'm come to do thy will and to preach the righteousness in the great congregation. I have not hid, notice, thy righteousness within my heart. That means when he came, he revealed it. He said, I have much things to tell you. Much things to tell you. He was always teaching us. Revealed. He sings in the great congregation. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. That means I've told them the truth. I told them who you are. I said, I'm coming your name. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. We told not thy tender mercies from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Now that's Jesus talking. Now it goes on. Let me go back to Isaiah 40. Where were we? Verse 18 says. Now we've been trying to explain a little bit, right? To whom then will you liken God? Because here's one that the thoughts that he has concerning you is more than the sand of upon the sea. And you remember in the book of Genesis, when he was making promises to Abraham, what did he say to Abraham of the blessings? He said, look towards the stars. Count them. Count the number of the sand. If you can, so shall thy seed be. That's the way I'm going to bless you. It cannot be numbered. Eternity is not enough to reveal how God loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You should be shouting. I said you should be shouting. To whom then will you liken God?
Or what likeness?
You go there and see people praying and counting and before a little stone. An idol. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? Now, let me go on here because there's some mysteries here. Okay? God, you have got to understand what God is saying. He's saying one thing, then he slips something in, and he go back and he say, so you've got to be sharp. Otherwise, you missed it. Now, he's asking you a question, to whom will you liken God? Now, the workman melted a graven image. That's human. Human work. Trying to find God. In his own strength, trying to compare or make a God. You cannot make a God. Now, I'm slowing down because I want you to get it. It's very technical. This portion of scripture is one of the hardest. Technical. People fight and argue over it. Hard to get it. I even have somebody upset for years with me about that scripture. Because I don't see it the way they see it, and they don't see it the way that I see it. But I don't argue. You see it one way, I see it another way. But we are friends. But I just want you to slow down and look at it, how technical the word of God is. Okay? Just look. Because God is a master. He's saying now, let me go down. The workman melted a graven image and the goldsmith spreaded it over with gold and casted it, cast that silver chain. That's an idol. Don't do that. That's an idol. You made it. Somebody made it. Then, verse 10. But notice here. This is the most technical part of scripture that I've ever seen. One of it. Read it. Look at it. Focus. But notice it changed it. He said now, he that is so impoverished that he had no sacrifice, right? Oblation?
Yes.
Nothing to offer. Okay? He is not making an idol. He has nothing to offer. When you come to the cross, when you come to Jesus, what do you have?
Nothing.
You're so poor.
Yes.
What do you give him?
Nothing.
When you come to the cross, what do you have?
Nothing.
Everybody that comes to the cross is because they're so poor. It's when you're rich in your spirit, you try to make a God. You're trying to make something. But when you realize I have nothing to give, I'm too poor. They have nothing to give. I'm so impoverished that he had no oblation. Notice there. What does he do? He chooses a tree that cannot rot. Can anybody tell me? If you go up there and choose a tree, it might last 1,000 years, but it rots. Amen?
Amen?
You're not listening, are you?
Yes.
I want you to focus now. If it lives, lasts for 2,000 years and it rots.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? It rots.
Amen.
But now, this man is so poor,
mm-hmm.
he has no oblation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All he can do is choose a tree that cannot rot. I want to ask you a question now. Be fair. Be honest. Is there such a tree that cannot rot? Is there such a tree that from 2,000 years ago we've been singing At the cross.
Amen.
Where I first saw the light.
Hallelujah.
And from generation to generation.
Hallelujah.
That cross, that tree. Is still fresh and green.
Hallelujah.
Is there such a tree that you can sing. That poor wretched sinner. Can choose. And said, the whole rugged cross makes the difference. The cross that Jesus died.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Song said, they nailed him to that old rugged cross. Three rusty nails. And he hung on that whole rugged cross.
Yes.
Let me ask a question. Is anyone so poor tonight that they have no oblation? But is there a tree that you can choose?
Hallelujah.
Yes. Is there a tree that you can choose like Elisha cut off that tree? That stick, cast it in the water of human experience,
come on.
And the axe said float.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Is there a tree that you can break off and cast it into the bitter water of your life? And it turns it sweet.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Can you choose a tree tonight? Hallelujah. Can you make a trip back to that old rugged cross?
Yes.
The cross that Jesus died on. But the poorest of the poor, the vilest sinner, we have no sacrifice, nothing to give. But like that thief hanging on the cross has nothing. But he says, Lord, remember me. As the Savior hung on that tree, as he hung on that cross, that man that was so impoverished, has no sacrifice, he's on his way out, he's dying, and yet, hallelujah, the cross provided a riches and said, truly I tell you, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Have you ever sing about the blood that stained that old rugged cross? Amen. You're so poor, impoverished, but yet there's a blood that flows from Calvary. Amen. The blood that Jesus shed for you and I. Amen. Makes the difference. Amen. He that is so impoverished that he has nothing, no oblation, choose tree. I choose the cross. That will not rot. And notice here, words are powerful. Because this blows your mind. He chooseth, or he seeketh unto him, a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. All right, that's very puzzling. But did you know that cunning workman, and I'm going to show you, is Jesus Christ. Yeah. That carved out an image. Yeah. And that image is himself. Amen. That as he died on the cross, as he hung on the cross, he carved out a new man.
Amen.
That you and I, the poor, wretched sinners, that have nothing. He carved out the very nature of God. A new man, a new image, like unto himself. What a mystery. It goes on. And this cannot be moved. Because it's a new creation established. All right, let me. Hold your fingers there and go to Songs of Solomon, okay? Chapter 7, verse 1. I just want you to go there. Let's find about the cunning workman. You have to have scripture to back you up. Put it up there from Songs of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1. You find that? Now remember now in Isaiah 40, he that is so impoverished chose a tree that cannot rot. Amen. And then the cunning workman that carved out an image that cannot be moved. Amen. You can't tear it down. It cannot, but it's established. How beautiful, read it.
How beautiful are
thy feet with shoes, O princess daughter. The joints. Notice, read on slow. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels. Who is he talking about? Who carved that out? Who carved that image out? The church. The bride. Hey? Beautiful with shoes. The thigh. Huh? Who did it? The joints. Oh no, you ought to be shouting. I say you ought to be shouting. Then he goes on. The work of the hands of who?
A cunning
workman. Who is that workman?
Jesus.
See, that cunning workman is Jesus Christ. That carved out that image. There it is. An image that cannot move. Read the next verse, let me see. And it goes on the old chapter. Thy neighbor is like a round goblet which wanted not liquor. Thy belly is like unto heaps of wheat set about with lilies.
Praise God. Amen.
And you can read on. Is there any more? It explains it. Okay? What's carved out? Who did it?
Jesus.
That's Jesus Christ. That's not an idol. That's a bride of Christ, the church, the member. And back in Isaiah 4, that's not an idol. That's carved out on the cross of Calvary by a cunning workman. Hey, that's Jesus Christ that carves you out through the cross. And you were so poor that you chose the cross. You chose that old rugged cross and a cunning workman, Jesus Christ. Let me give you another scripture. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Go down there quickly. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Read verse 9.
Not of works.
Not of works. Notice, it's not your work. Not your work. But it's the work of him.
Amen.
Not of works that you have done. That image carved out is not of your works, let any man should boast. It's a work that only Christ can do. Okay? Only Jesus can do it. For? Are you reading? For we, did you getting it? I want you to get it now. For we are, verse 10, up there, verse 10 on the board. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are is workmanship. We are what? He that is so impoverished chose a cunning workman to do a work, to carve out. Okay, an image. But notice what this cunning workman is carving out. It's an image like himself. For we are his workmanship. You need to shout. For we are his workmanship. Our we created. It created in Christ Jesus. Unto what? Unto good work. Let's read it again. Get it up there. I'm trying to get that verse on the board. For we are his workmanship. Did you get that? Now this cunning workman, what did he carve out? You chose him. You chose a cunning workman to make a graven image. You chose Jesus to carve you out through the cross. To carve out an image like himself. Because you and I, we were too poor. We were impoverished. We did not have a sacrifice. We could not give to God a ransom for her soul. So we chose a cunning workman. He sent Jesus Christ. Woo! To lift us up out of the mire and the clay and set our feet on the rock. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Verse 10 says, read it now. I want to show you. Go with Isaiah 40. For we are his what? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Establish it. It cannot be moved. Amen. Like Solomon chapter 7 verse 1, verse 2. Amen. This cunning workman that carved it out. He carved out the bride. He carved out the church. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Who can carve it out when you have nothing to offer, nothing to give? But no sacrifice was accepted. But Jesus Christ came. And through Jesus Christ tonight, we are alive. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Hallelujah. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Notice, he carved out a graven image through the cross like himself. My. Did you get it? How many is getting it? Raise your hand, let me see you. Did you see the mystery? Did you see the puzzle? For you need a cunning workman to work in your life, to carve you out. The same image. As he is, so are we. You have to be carved out. And it's done how? Through a tree that will not rot. That old ragged cross. But you're too poor to get an image. To get a goldsmith. To get a carver. So you come surrendering, Lord, like the thief on the cross. Remember me. My. Remember me. Isn't that what you do? When you come to the old rugged cross. And what carved you out? Or were you carved out? It was when you come to that tree. At the cross. At the cross. Where? I first saw the light. Weren't you carved out there? Weren't you carved? Somebody ought to shout tonight. Somebody ought to wake up and see the word of God. We ought to get off of that little pride limb that we have. Tradition limb. And let the Holy Ghost begin to reveal to us this cunning workman. To show how poor we are. Nothing to offer. What did you give? When you come, what did you bring? What was your oblation? No. Only your sins. I have nothing to give. This poor man cried unto the Lord. And he heard me. And delivered me from all of my fear, my troubles. I feel like shouting this weekend, don't you? Are you getting this now? Is it clear?
Yes, it is.
I said, is it very clear?
Yes, it is. Amen.
The Bible is a book of mysteries. The cross is in there. If you can see that cross, that whole rugged cross, it still stands. It always will stand. And even Revelation, he said, I saw a lamb stood up as it were slain. Where? It was hung on the cross before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In him we live and move and have our beings. See that you make no other gods. Because there is no other image. But the image of Jesus Christ. He is the image of God. And he's the workman. That cunning workman. Holy Christ. God created all things through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is not to be compared with the Father. When you get in Scripture and start comparing him with the Father, you're in trouble. And you begin to show how less he is than the Father. You're going to get in trouble. God, that's not what we ought to do. We ought to show how great he is. Because the Scripture says that in all things, if you could find me that Scripture, in all things he is to have Colossians. The preeminence. Yeah. Colossians. I think it's chapter 1. Amen. Find me quickly that Scripture. That in all things, Colossians 1. Look at Colossians 1. Read verse 17 down.
And he is before all.
Notice. Don't compare him. And the Father, they're not to be compared. If you want to compare him against the devil, if you want to. How great he is. And he's to destroy the devil.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Are you not listening?
Come on. Amen.
But he's not comparing with the Father. He and the Father is one.
Yes.
They're on the same side.
Amen.
Jesus is not showing how great he is or how against the Father. He's humbled. So if I spend my time just trying to preach how great the Father is over the Son and how less the Son is, I'm almost wasting my time. Because Christ didn't come for that. Christ came to redeem sinners.
Amen.
And I have to show sinners how great this man Jesus is. I notice I'm going to show you a little something. I'm going to show you a little something. What God done for him. Huh? What God wants you to do. Not to compare Jesus and God the Father. But notice all you to do. In Colossians. And I could go on all night. But in Colossians chapter 1 verse. Go to verse 17. Notice what he is. Who is speaking? See, the Holy Ghost using Paul. God the Father speaking through Paul.
Yes.
By the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I wish you'd read it.
And he is before all things.
Did you want to go to verse 16? Let's explore that.
Or verse 15.
Go to verse 15. Can we explore a little bit? No, start at verse 15. I want to show you. Who, notice what? Who is the image of the invisible God? All right, hold on. The image of the, read slow. Who is the image of the what?
Of the
invisible God. And that's the cunning workman that we chose.
Amen.
Because we want one to carve us out, okay, into sonship with God. Lord. So we chose, we have no oblation. So we chose a cunning workman that created all things, that made all things, that's going to make us into sons of God to bring us to glory. Somebody ought to shout. I feel good. We are going out of 2017 with a bang.
Amen.
Read again.
Who is the image of the invisible?
My, if I was sitting out there, I'd be jumping on my feet. I would just sit out there like, and hardly read the scripture. I wouldn't sit there. Look at what we're talking about. He carved us out of the mire and the clay and get us out of that first Adam and now made us. Put us, translate us in himself.
Amen.
Through the whole ragged cross.
Praise God.
It's only the cross.
It's only the cross.
Sorry, that done that.
Yes.
Woo!
Praise God.
Who is?
The image of the invisible
God? Did I get verse 15?
Yes.
Who is the image
of the invisible God?
Of the invisible God.
The
See? He was carved out of God. And we are carved out of him.
Amen.
And as he is, so are we.
Yes.
In this world. Who is the image of the invisible God? Notice. The first born. It didn't say the first creation.
Amen.
It's dealing with the new creation. And he's the first born from the dead. He went to Hades, to death, and he broke the power and destroyed the power of death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave. And he came out of that. The firstborn of every creature for the new creation. God, start over, because the first creation died. But a new creation in Christ that's carved out by the cross. And he is the firstborn
of every creature.
Amen. For by him. What verse?
16.
Verse 16 says, for by him.
Were all things created.
Jesus was not created.
Amen.
That are in heaven.
That are in earth.
And that are in earth.
Visible
and invisible.
Whether they be
thrones or dominion. Or principalities or powers. All things were created. Notice. By him.
And for him.
Excuse me.
And he is before
all things.
And by him all things
Notice, read slow. At read slow. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. What does that word consist mean? I was asking for that meaning of that word, consist. What was that word? What does it mean? Huh? Stand together. By him. All things consist. Go on. And he's before all things. Move on. Next verse.
And he is the head.
And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the church. That's the new creation. Upon this rock will I build my church. A new creation. A new building for the new earth.
Amen.
Behold, I make all things new. He is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning? Beginning of what? Of a new creation. That firstborn from the dead. Because Adam died, true Adam died, the first Adam, and that creation died. But he came, became one of us, died, but broke the power of death and rose from the dead and says, oh death, where is thy sting? He came to destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. Not talking about some creation, but the creation from corruption, from death. He saw no corruption.
Amen.
And he's the head of the body, that church.
Who is the beginning?
I feel like shouting.
The firstborn.
Who is the beginning?
The firstborn
from the dead.
That
in all things, notice, in all things, in all things, this is where we focus. Not focusing about and comparing him with, you know, there was doctrines in the way back that they fought over in the early church. They fought over those doctrines. We don't know how to fight over those things. Because that don't even make sense. See, you can go back and check it. Okay? All right? To see how great Jesus was against the Father. But let's see what the Father has to say.
Amen.
Now this is the Father speaking through Paul. This is awesome revelation.
Yes, it is.
He is the head of the church, the body, right?
Yes.
Who is the beginning of what? The firstborn after new creation from the dead. He tells us that we must be born again. Amen?
Amen.
Must be born again. Born of the resurrection. There's one more birth you have. And that's the resurrection.
Amen.
And in that birth, in that resurrection, in that kingdom, you'll neither marry nor give in marriage, but you're like the angel.
Amen.
There's one more birth. But Jesus has gone through and birthed that already.
Yes.
So he's the firstborn that from the dead. He went to the dead and broke it.
Yes.
And came out.
Yes.
And showed us the way.
Yes.
He made a way. He carved out a way.
Yes.
Listen. There is only one thing. I mean, the most terrible thing is death. Because death holds us. You cannot get out of it. You're holden by death. Only God can let you out. So what Jesus did was went there and broke it and set us free.
Yes.
So though I walk through the valley,
amen,
of the shadow of death, I fear no evil.
Fear no evil.
For thou art with me. And I can shout, oh death, where's your sting? You thought you had me. But Jesus destroyed it. And now there's a creation from death. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from, get it clear, from the dead. That what? In all things, he might have the preeminence. That's the message. That's what we focus on. Show them the preeminence in all things. How he broke the power of death, came out of that, start a new creation that you are a part of. And in all things, he have the preeminence. Amen. This is God, the Father speaking. Amen. You cannot beat that. What does the preeminence, in all things, you have, that word preeminence means? Now notice, preeminence means greatness. In all things, greatness, excellent, distinction. Prominence, importance, prestige, superiority. And you can go on. Now, when you can explain those and get those right, then you can go on. But come on, you can't do that. Because it said in all things. All right? You have to be able to explain all things that he has preeminence. And when you're able to do that, otherwise, we're just like grass. Amen. And the flowers that fade. Amen. You'll never be able to explain his greatness. Amen. It will take you. Listen to this. Here's the Greek. Somebody going to go to the Greek. Here's the Greek. The Greek says. Go back and read it slow. The Greek says.
He alone holds.
Get that microphone. Get that microphone. Watch me. Get that microphone and bring it over to Brother Andre. Let him read that so you see what preeminence means.
Yes.
Words are powerful. If you're going to use words, let's get it right. So in all things, he should have the preeminence.
So preeminence.
Preeminence means.
It means, it says, now that Jesus.
The Greek. Is it the Greek? Greek?
Yes.
All right.
Now that Jesus is the head of the church.
Now that Jesus is what?
The head of the church.
The head of the church.
He alone holds the preeminent.
He alone.
Holds the preeminent position in both.
The position.
In both the first creation.
In both the first creation.
The universe. And.
With the what? In both. The
first. In both the first creation.
In both the first creation.
The universe.
Of the universe.
And in the new creation.
And in the new creation the from church. The dead.
Amen. The church.
The church.
The head of the church.
The head of the church.
Amen.
Now you're going to have to explain now the first creation. You can't get there. You wasn't even there, right? You don't know nothing about it. The preeminence that he had.
Amen.
Yeah? Then when he come, the greatness. This is my beloved son. On the mount of with Elijah when he said, let's make us three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And he heard a voice from heaven say, this is my beloved son. In whom I'm well. So if God is well, please leave it like that. Don't try to explain something. Because God didn't try to explain. God said, this is my beloved son, and I'm well pleased. Amen. And then God called him beloved.
Beloved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Amen. And he's the head of the church, the body.
Yes.
All right.
Amen.
So are you happy now tonight? So you can shout tonight. Let me begin to. What, you know, I didn't get very far in Isaiah 40, but we'll pick it up. But let me get back there. This is not awesome. Colossians, let me.
Amen.
Let's read on a little more. He is the head of the body,
yes.
The church, who is the beginning. Notice what's dealing with. The firstborn from the dead. That, in all things, he might have the preeminence. That's a big word that knock you out of your seat. Because men and angels cannot explain that. In all things. Because your little brain would have to be able to comprehend all things of the work and the awesomeness of God. Tell me. Tell me. Who put the stars in the skies? The sun, the moon. Who caused the sun and the moon and the stars, make the moon and the stars to hide in the day? And then comes out in the night.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Huh?
Amen. The heavens of heavens,
yes.
That cannot contain him. Tell me.
Hallelujah.
Explain that to me.
Eh?
Solomon said it. The heaven of heavens of heaven cannot contain him. Will he dwell on the earth? And yet he chose to dwell in the, come through the womb of a virgin.
Hallelujah.
When the creation could not hold him.
Amen.
How great is our God.
Wow.
Oh, awesome is our God. And the scripture goes on in the Psalms. Exalt him that rides upon the heavens by his name. Yeah. And as we go further in, we'll see it. He sits upon the circle of the earth.
Hallelujah.
Where is the circle of the earth? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the clouds are the dust of his chariot. You want to begin to explain this awesome Jesus? This awesome God? This awesome, as the Father is, so I am. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Nobody can explain it.
Amen.
Nobody can put him, but the Father placed him at his right hand.
Yes.
So how are we going to explain that?
Amen. Amen.
But we bow our knees and says, holy.
Holy.
As the elders cast their crowns before him.
Yes.
Behold the Lamb of God,
yes,
which taketh away the sins of the world. I'm so glad that he's my Savior, aren't you?
Amen.
Let me finish here. Notice here. It pleased the Father. And if it pleased the Father, that pleased me. That in him should all fullness dwell. How are you going to explain the fullness of the Godhead? All fullness dwells in him, and God created all things by Jesus. Please explain that. Boy, we're up against a rock and a hard place. And having made peace, look at that. Who is this man called Jesus that could make peace between man and God? I mean, he settled the score. There's no more war. He made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him. That's God did that. Whether they be things in earth, watch this, or things in heaven. Read on. And you, little man, you little grass, you little fading flowers, you little dust. Are you listening now? You and I, as nothing. We are lighter than the dust of the skin, like a drop in the bucket. And you that were sometimes alienated. Read Ephesians 2 and you'll see that. Alienated. Where? And enemies in your mind by wicked works. How did he get in? How does Jesus, who is he, that could get in your little mind that was darkened and alienated, no light. And he brought you back where you can love God.
Yeah.
Yet now, right now, at he reconciled you. When you can figure that out, when you can explain that, then you can move on to a higher level. But until then, please, keep your little backpack on and your little ABC 1, 2, 3, okay? And stay in your little kindergarten circle.
Amen.
Don't try it with the Father or the Son. Don't try to explain it.
Come on. Amen.
I don't think we're capable. I'm not, and you're not.
Amen.
Now, he says, he reconciled us. How did he do it? Explain this. In the body of his flesh, through the death, through death. To present you holy, notice, unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Explain that. Those are the mysteries. Not to see how great the Father is above the Son, or how lower the Son is. We need to play in circles that belong to us. If you continue in the faith, grounded, let me close, and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that. This is what you ought to do, what we should do. And fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. This is the assignment. Not try to prove how high the Father is, how low the Son is. That will come.
Amen.
Amen. It's going to take the kingdom age when everything is under his feet and when he hand over the kingdom to the Father. That we haven't reached there yet. Verse, whereof I am being a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Here's what we are, the dispensation of God. Okay, let's stay in that circle. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery, of this mystery among the Gentiles. Riches, what is it? Church, shout. Look at the mystery, figure that out. The mystery of God that had been hid in generations and ages. They couldn't figure it out. Look at it. A mystery that's revealed. Get past this. Explain this. Which is Christ
in you.
He carved out. He carved out. That cunning man carved out an image. We bear the image of Jesus Christ. Paul says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Which is Christ
in
you. The hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, when we get to that place of perfection, then we move on to another stage.
Amen.
Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his what? His working, carving, creating, which worketh a cunning workman. He's still working on you. He's still carving you out. Which worketh in me mightily. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a praise.
Hallelujah.
Amen.